Featuring the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Welcome in. It's the first defeated postgame show of the season. I'm Dominic Catronio. A 5-3 final today as the Mariners level the series at a game apiece. And this is a show that I'm going to call on you, the fans. If you are listening, we're going till 10 o'clock tonight. I'm flying solo, so I'd love to have some guests, some texts, some things to talk about here on the program. We'll have a few shows like this throughout the season with scheduling conflicts and things of that nature, especially with the Bucks coming up here and their playoff run. Maybe some West Coast games as well where I'm just going to fly solo. No big deal. Ain't nothing but a thing to me. We're just going to roll through this and have some talk radio moments, shall we? So the Brewers fall 5-3. Some of the things I want to talk about today include DL Hall's misleading line. I thought he pitched pretty well today, and some folks are freaking out about his line. We'll break that down a little bit. Also want to talk about Pat Murphy's decisions on Hobie Milner and Bryce Wilson today. Maybe the offense in general, too. It's been a little bit of a slow start. And then finally, also want to talk about the fact that the Brewers' bullpen as a whole is just kind of sort of trying to figure things out right now. So we'll get into all of that rolling on with the program. If you want to be involved with the program, the number is 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Here in this first segment, though, let's go with the three most important plays of the game. And quite frankly, they were all late in this one. And it's an easy pick for the first one. Bryce Miller is out of the game, finally. He was fantastic today. I can't wait to break down his start in this segment. Bryce Miller was great. Brewers really had a tough time with his splitter today. But he's finally out of the game after seven innings. The Mariners are leading 4-0 at this point. Austin Voth is the pitcher. Bryce Terang, the first pitch he sees, he pulls a single through the right side, and the next batter was Jackson Churio.
This one hit in the air to left and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here and gone for Churio! And the Brewers have cut it in half on his second big league home run. He hit it out of here and left, and it's now with a two-run shot.
And that started the momentum finally in the Brewers' direction. In fact, the Mariners would need three different relievers to get all three outs in that eighth inning. Voth would face two more batters and allow a one-out walk to William Contreras. That would end his day. Then they went left-on-left with Gabe Spire, which seemed to be the plan against Yelich because Spire was up as soon as the inning began. And he promptly walked the guy he was supposed to get on four pitches. So that was a massive play, but I loved what Willie Adames did, similar to last night's ninth inning. He stayed patient, didn't get too big on a 3-1 pitch. He draws the walk. That puts runners on first and loads the bases. And then Pat Murphy went to his bench. Rhys Hoskins had the day off. He was always available, trying to give him a day to get off of his feet. And Rhys almost delivered an incredible moment.
Here it is. Hit it. Left and deep, warning track, didn't get enough. One run's going to score. It'll make it 4-3 on a sac fly, almost.
Almost indeed, as Bob Uecker called it here on WTMJ. With that swing from Rhys Hoskins, he hit it 99 off the bat. That's solid. Didn't quite get all of it, obviously, but that's still pretty darn solid. It was a 43-degree launch angle, so not very likely to get out of the yard, 322 feet. But it was a sac fly, and that made it a one-run game. They went back to the bench for Joey Ortiz because Gabe Spire was still on the mound. Ortiz to hit for Bowers because left on left. If Bowers stayed in, they would have kept the lefty in. Bowers comes out, they bring in the righty, and that's exactly what happened. Thornton versus Ortiz, and Ortiz ended up grounding out. But really, in my opinion, the biggest moment of the game was in the top of the ninth inning, with Luis Urias, old friend, now he's a new foe at the plate.
Urias just lined one out of here, and Seattle right back at the crew. Yelich gave it a look, got to the warning track, and bye-bye.
Solo homer just broke all that momentum for the Brewers, and 5-3 would be the final today. So those are my three biggest plays from this one. Let's take a breather here and just also give some kudos, okay? Bryce Miller, that was disgusting. That was one of the, you know, that was the top prospect version of Bryce Miller that we saw today. Seven great innings, three hits, no runs, one walk, seven strikeouts. If you've been listening to me for a long time, you've heard me say that Brewers fans know what good pitching looks like and bad offense looks like. This, there's a difference, right? This was great pitching and the Brewers being stymied by it. I thought Bryce Miller had excellent command all day. He only needed 78 pitches. He threw 53 strikes. Not a single inning went beyond 15 pitches. And you may be thinking, well, Dom, they should work the count more. They should try to, you know, be a little more creative. You can't do that when you keep falling behind. So let me just count this live with you. This is great radio, but let me just count it live. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 6 0-2 counts in the first 18 batters of the game. A third of the batters had an 0-2 count. You don't get a chance to breathe and say, oh, yeah, let's let him work. It's 0-2. There is no chance to work. He was fantastic. The splitter in particular, I was very impressed with. He threw a total of 20 splitters tonight. 14 of them were strikes, and 6 of those 14 strikes were whiffs. So, again, the way you measure whiff rate is total swings, so not just swings and misses, but if a ball is put in play, a foul ball, whatever. 13 total swings against the splitter, 6 of them were whiffs. So that's 46%. That is an elite pitch. But furthermore, his four-seam fastball had an elite whiff rate. Same exact rate. 6 swings and misses on 13 total swings. His fastball had some serious carry. And you saw, you know, like Willy Adames struck out looking on a fastball in the second inning on a pitch at the knees. And you may be thinking, that was right down the middle. Why isn't he pulling the trigger on that? Well, the reason is, you know, the splitter is in the scouting report, and you're taught, okay, if you see a pitch down, if you see a pitch that looks straight that's down, it's probably going to be the splitter, because the whole point of the splitter is to be disguised like a fastball. And because he has great carry, and because that ball held its line all the way at the bottom of the zone, you would expect a little bit of a dip. Maybe it goes below the zone for a ball. Or even furthermore, like we said, Willie was expecting a splitter. But nope. Fastball carry, bottom of the zone, strike three called. So I just want to give my kudos to Bryce Miller today as we start breaking down more of this contest. Again, 855-616-1620 if you want to join us tonight. Again, 855-616-1620. Let's get to the phone lines now. Greg in Waukesha, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Dom, I love the show.
Thank you.
Absolutely love it. So, hey, I have a question and a possible thought. Why, in a close game in the ninth inning, why don't you bring Abner Uribe in, especially because he hasn't been identified as your closer yet? Why not let him prove himself, you know, in a close game, and bring Uribe in the, you know, maybe in the, you know, partially, you know, in the eighth inning, but definitely in the ninth inning. Why not bring Uribe in and see what he can do, you know?
I get it, Greg. I've got an easy answer for you here, man. So, first of all, he is the closer. I know it hasn't been like, oh, gosh, he's announced as a closer. He is the closer. McGill's on the 7-day concussion list. Payamps is velo down a little bit. Uribe is the closer until Devin Williams returns. Number two, if he pitched today while the team was trailing, that would mean he's probably not available tomorrow, because that would be 3 consecutive days. And quite frankly, the simple rule for managers, don't throw your closer when you're losing, because that's a waste of a day, and you don't get a chance to use him tomorrow. That being said, I know what you're saying. He's not proven he gets experience. I want him pitching with the lead. Of course, the Brewers wanted to give him a lead. He would have pitched the ninth inning if this game was A, tied, or B, the Brewers had the lead. But I do not want to give the ball to my closer with the team trailing, especially on the heels of a back-to-back. But it's a good question. I appreciate you calling in, Greg. Let me get to a couple of questions here on the text line as well. Sal Frelick appears to be struggling. When are we going to see more of Blake Perkins? This is from Mike in Colorado. Mike, we're going to see a lot of Sal. Again, this is a guy that is going to be a cornerstone of this team, and especially without Garrett Mitchell for another few weeks, Sal's going to have to hold down center field. We'll probably see Blake against lefties, and strictly at that. Maybe you give Sal a day here and there, but for him, some guys, April, it's a weekend. You're still getting your eyes back, and after what was such a heavy spring training for him as far as learning third base, and then, you know, your offense kind of becomes secondary to that point, I'm not worried about Sal in the slightest for 1 week in. If this continues for like 3 weeks, then we'll revisit this conversation, but I'm not worried about Sal at all. I mean, today, he hit a ball hard to right field on the first pitch of the game. That flies out. Grounded out to short. No big deal there. A liner on, he was the only guy that really connected on a splitter today, got lined out to center and also grounded out to short. So no strikeouts, no swings and misses today, didn't take any obvious hangers or anything like that. I'm not super worried about Sal Frelick. I'll get to more of these texts again, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. We got more to come after this on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Tonight on Brewers Extra Innings, we're going till 10 o'clock here on your home of the Brewers. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities. It's going to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Let me get to a few texts. Again, 855-616-1620. Justin in Sun Prairie, a couple of things here. Brewers have scored exactly 3 runs in 4 of 7 games. Not going to get it done. I agree entirely there, Justin. No backlash for me. We know 4 is kind of like that magic number for the Brewers, and they haven't reached it far enough. But again, they're 5-2. It's 1 week of games. I'm not going to overreact. Let's see how this goes once things start getting warmer and the roof is open again. If they're still averaging like 3 runs a game, maybe we'll figure it out. Also, Justin says, one thing not being talked about enough, Willy Adames has only struck out 2 in 7 games. Very, very astute observation. Appreciate that, Justin. I agree. Look at yesterday. Goes oppo for a home run, does not strike out against a very good pitcher in Logan Gilbert, and we already explained today's strikeout where he was looking for the splitter and didn't get it. I've really liked Willie's approach so far. Let's see if he can keep that going after 1 week into the season. This one from Doug. Churio needs to stay in the leadoff spot. He misses out with at-bats. Get him as many at-bats as possible. I am kind of with you there, Doug. I'm curious because if they're willing to bat him leadoff against lefties, you know, why not bat him higher up against righties? But then as I look at this lineup, right, and let's keep operating without Garrett Mitchell in the fold here. I'm not batting him leadoff. Maybe you switch it now that Sal's been off to a slow start, but I don't know where I would put Sal in that regard. If the normal lineup is Sal 1, Contreras 2, Yelich 3, Reese normally 4, Adames, every opportunity to be a starter, face a lineup multiple times, and see what you can do. I was very, very pleased with today. I mean, if he had completed that 6th inning, right? 6 innings, 3 hits against a team that has playoff aspirations. Excuse me, 6 innings, 3 runs, not 3 hits. 6 innings, 3 runs. That's a quality start. And say what you say, want to say about a quality start against a playoff caliber team like the Seattle Mariners. Sign me up for that right now in his 3rd ever big league start. I was very happy with what DL Hall did today. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Let's shift gears over to the offense coming up in the next segment. Of course, a lot coming in here about Gary Sanchez, a lot talking about, you know, the levers of Pat Murphy and the pinch hitting, and then we'll also get into a little bit of bullpen there as well. So stay with us. We're going all the way until 10 o'clock tonight, 855-616-1620. Right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. On. Big theme coming out of the session with Pat Murphy and with the media is that he has full trust in Hobie Milner and Bryce Wilson. And before we get ahead of ourselves here. Brewers fall tonight by a final of 5-3. I'm Dominic Catronio. Bryce looked great tonight until, I mean, the home run was really the only blemish. I thought Bryce looked great. He came in, struck out the first three batters, 1-2-3, seventh. Obviously gave up the homer to Polanco, who was signed to the Mariners to hit homers. Yes, he had a then walk the next batter. Haneker got out of the rest of the inning. He struck out five and two and a third innings. It was a bullpen saver effort for him tonight. And then Hobie Milner obviously gave up the home run to Luis Urias. I know he has confidence in him, but I want to break down that decision real quick. I know we saw Thiago Vieira up earlier. I think Thiago would have come in if it was 4-0 or 5-0 or something like that. The fact that the game was suddenly within reach, kind of like what Greg was calling it about in the first segment, why not go to Uribe there? You're not going to go to your closer, but you still want to go to one of your better relievers. And look, Hobie's been off to a cold start. Gave up the home run in New York against the Mets to Brett Beatty. Now gives up the home run today to Luis Urias. I'm not going to overreact to spring training stats. Didn't have a great spring. Also gave up a run against Minnesota the other day. So I'm just monitoring Hobie Milner right now. And again, Bryce Wilson's a guy that's meant to be a bullpen saver, not necessarily a guy that's going to get outs. Remember, Bryce entered the game when they were down 4-0. Okay, so let's not overreact to like, oh my gosh, this guy blew it. No, he came in down 4-0. I thought Bryce pitched great today. Let's also talk a little bit about Gary Sanchez. Gary, 0-for-4 today, still looking for his first Brewers hit. He's 0-for-11. One thing I fear with the Gary Sanchez signing is Gary's always been a guy that's virtually been close to a two-thirds of a day player. What I mean by that is he's going to play like 100 to 120 games and get consistent ABs. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that as Reese continues to get his eyes back and get his health back, because they've had him at DH more than I expected in this first week of games. Maybe that'll level out as the season goes on. But if Gary's not going to be able to get consistent DH at-bats and be able to continually get his eyes there, I worry about his offense. I truly do. He's a professional hitter, and he tears the cover off the ball. His underlying metrics, and I know a lot of folks don't give a darn about how hard he hits the ball if it's an out. I get that. I think with Gary, again, we're 1 week in. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. But at the same time, you can feel like, wait a minute, I thought this guy was supposed to hit. I think he is due, and they will find a way to get him going. I wonder, especially in this coming week, right? You're in the middle. Today was game two of 13 in a row. How many more games in this 13 in a row is he going to catch? One or two more? How many of those games is he going to DH, right? So if you've got 11 games left in this 13 in a row, let's count him in for 2 days for sure catching. So like the day game after a night game coming up on Thursday of next week, and then maybe Sunday on the getaway day. And then maybe two more DHs, so that's four games. That's 16 more at-bats over these next 11 days. Is that enough for him? That's an honest question. And the Brewers are going to have to figure that out here as the season goes along. I know a lot of folks are saying, well, Eric Haas had such an amazing spring. He's a proven defender. I know that Sanchez had a pass ball today. I see it with Haas. Again, I'm never going to overreact to spring training stats, but he did everything he was supposed to do. And sometimes life ain't fair. Maybe we still see Haas at some point this year. You never know. There's always things that pop up. The Brewers went all year last year with only two catchers. I'd be shocked if they're able to do it again. But we'll see what happens. We're a week in. I'm not going to overreact. This text from Ricky in Honey Creek. I'm not going to read all of it here, Ricky, but I disagree with a lot of it, especially with Hoskins can't get a hit with the bases loaded and one out. He just hit a sack fly, and he drove in a run off the bench on the first pitch he saw. I don't know what you want, man. He was 30, you know, he was 10 yards away from a grand slam and maybe the most epic moment already of the season. Miss me with that. I completely disagree. We can go eye to eye on Gary having a slow start, absolutely. But no, come on. We're not going to overreact to Reese Hoskins. Remember, Reese missed an entire season of baseball. That's not a little thing, okay? And I think we've kind of downplayed it because he's healthy, because he's playing defense. That's not a small thing that he missed an entire season of getting reps, getting his eye on baseball, breaking ball, spin, that sort of thing. And the fact that he's been as advanced as he is so far, we are so early in this, 7 games in at 5-2, I'm not going to overreact to any of that sort of thing. Other things down the box score here for the Brewers, William Contreras in his first game as DH, 2-for-3, a double, a single, also a walk and run scored. Loved seeing that from Wild Bill on the day that he received his Silver Slugger award as well. So that was a fun moment pregame as well. Bottom of the order, very quiet today. Oliver Dunn, Jake Bowers, Gary, Terang, Churio, they all combined for 2 hits, and only Terang and Churio had the hits. Terang with the single right before Churio's homer, so they did not manage anything against the starter, Bryce Miller. Also in today's game, I really thought that the Brewers just, you look at it, that third inning, 5 hits, 5 singles, 4 of them single-eye singles and 1 bunt. They turned a key double play when they needed to stop the bleeding and keep it at 3-0. But they couldn't do anything when the leadoff man got on today. A leadoff double in the fourth with William Contreras. Yelly flied out. Adames pulled a ground ball. Not good baseball there. And then Dunn struck out on 3 pitches. Or in the 7th inning, third time through the order, Willie led off with a soft single to center. Then Dunn flew out to left. Bowers popped out. Sanchez popped out. I thought that was a massive moment in the game in that 7th inning. That you got your leadoff man on. Maybe this guy's on the ropes. Remember, Miller, he matched a career high with 7 innings pitched tonight. He had never gone beyond the 7th inning, so you knew this was going to be it for him, and the Brewers could not make him pay in this one. But, hey, you're not going to win them all. The quest for 160-2 is still on. It's going to be okay. It's just a loss. 35,000 in the house. Fun night at the ballpark. They'll rebound and get right back to it tomorrow. As we've been breaking down the game and thinking about what's going to come next for the Brewers and going for the series win tomorrow, let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
I see.
Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Welcome back. It's a short Pat Murphy segment today. We had trouble ripping it from Bally Sports Wisconsin. They had some technical difficulties on their side of things. So he opens up talking a lot about D.L. Hall today, and here's what Pat Murphy had to say about that.
Speaking of disappointed, D.L. Hall, it was kind of like death by a million paper cuts in that long third inning, wasn't it?
I was really pleased with D.L. I thought he threw the ball great. You know, there was 5 potential outs there, you know what I mean? That's a great lineup over there, you know what I mean? Like, look at that lineup, 1 through whatever it is. That's a great lineup. And I thought DL battled and was great, and he was very, you know, the leadoff bunt is just a great execution by the kid. And then the blooper into left, you can't do anything about it. It happens. We get our share of bloopers. And then 3 strike ground balls that got through, and some of them were hit well. So, but still, he didn't panic. He stayed with it. I thought him and Gary Sanchez, behind the scenes, I thought Gary Sanchez did a great job first day catching. I thought he controlled the tempo. I was really pleased with Gary. Made a great throw to throw a guy out. Terang, great tag. And, you know, the kid pitched great for them. He was great. Really was. Strikes, anytime, was really, really good. I'm not going to criticize our offensive approach. It's early in the season. We've got 4 guys that are basically rookies in there, and some guys that, you know, are just getting started. But
just getting started. You heard it from the man right there. Sorry for it being so short tonight. But let me look at some of the decisions tonight, and I talked about it earlier about Hobie and Bryce being in this game. Let me break down that Hobie decision. So, 9th inning, you're down by a run. It's 4-3, and you look at it, you have Urias, a righty, Raley, a lefty, Crawford, a lefty, due up in the inning. And again, you're down by a run. Brian Hudson pitched yesterday, and we're 1 week into the season. I'm not having him go back-to-back. Hobie Milner is available. And you can sit there and look, okay, the challenge, air quotes there, is Luis Urias. And I'm not trying to, like, knock Urias here, but this is a spot that Hobie Milner expects to get out. I mean, he was fine last season against right-handed pitchers. I'm pulling up his splits right now. They're right-handed hitters. Righties hit 256, lefties hit 155, but 256 is still very good, and only a 682 OPS, still very, very good. I trust Hobie Milner in that situation, and it failed with Luis Urias. Maybe there's something to be considered, the former teammate thing and that sort of thing, but that kind of thing is like, hey, do your job, get the guy out. He's more likely to get out than he is to hit a home run, and then he hit a home run. Because you got two lefties following up, and he wasn't going to pinch hit Luke Rayleigh because that would have emptied his bench, and he's definitely not going to pinch hit J.P. Crawford. So you know that Hobie is going to face two lefties, and the challenge was going to be Luis Urias to make it, you know, make sure you get there. However, then you can counter that by saying, wait a minute, he had J.B. Bukauskas already up, ready to go, in case Julio Rodriguez came up, which is exactly what happened. He went to Bukauskas to face Rodriguez. And then you're saying, well, wait a minute, Dom. Why not bring in the righty Bukauskas to face Urias, have him deal with the two lefties, Luke Rayleigh and J.P. Crawford, so that if the inning extends, you get Julio. I prefer Hobie because he's done it before and the experience that he has. That's what Pat Murphy said in the extended comments today that you weren't unfortunately able to hear. He said you can't ignore the body of work that got him here. If this becomes a trend for Hobie, we will revisit. But in my opinion, we're going to continue to monitor this. It's not been a great start for Hobie Milner. That being said, having Brian Hudson there to help out as another lefty is going to be huge for this team. And the way that he has started his Brewers career has certainly shown signs that he can really be a massive piece of this team moving forward. Furthermore, with the Bryce Wilson decision, I already explained it earlier, but I'll say it again. Bryce was great aside from one pitch, the hanging curveball to Polanco. Otherwise, I thought he was fantastic today. And a reminder, in that eighth inning, the Brewers were already down 3-0, and that made it 4-0. So he was already down. Yes, it made it 4-0, but the offense wasn't really doing much today. I think today is more about the offense than it is about the pitching staff, in my opinion. Not that we're, you know, oh my gosh, change everything now because it's only April 6th. But I just refuse to get ahead of myself here and say, oh my gosh, Bryce came in with the team trailing. It's not like the Brewers never got the lead back, never tied it. So let it breathe. It's all good. Try to get back after it tomorrow. Looking around the big league scoreboard today, most games have gone final. Just a few games out west still happening right now. Rangers beat the Astros again, 7-2, the final there. The Astros are off to a 2-7 start. Very interesting. And those two teams play each other a lot here in April, so this could be a huge tiebreaker-type monitoring situation for that. The Yankees hang on to beat the Blue Jays in a wild game in the Bronx, 9-8 out there. The Royals over the White Sox, 3-0. That's three in a row for Kansas City. The Braves, they came back to beat the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are having some rough go of it in their bullpen right now, given they don't have Paul Sewald. He's got an oblique strain right now. Jarvis and Luis Frias struggled in that one for their bullpen. They lose to the Braves 9-8. And speaking of the Braves, I don't know if you saw the news today, but the maybe Cy Young favorite for the National League, Spencer Strider, has damage in his UCL, the ulnar collateral ligament. The ligament that lets you throw a baseball. He is seeing Dr. Keith Meister in Arlington, Texas. He is sort of kind of the new, you know, go-to guy for anything elbow-related. Him, Dr. Neil Elatrosh out in Los Angeles, those are two of the main guys right now. And if you're going to see Dr. Meister, it's not a good sign. And could be seeing his second Tommy John surgery. So big news out there for the National League for the Braves. Marlins lose again. They're 0-9 to start the year. Cardinals beat them 3-1. Pirates walk it off with O'Neill Cruz and extras over the Orioles. 5-4, the final there. They're 7-2. The Brewers are now 5-2. The Dodgers beat the Cubs down at Wrigley. 4-1, the final there. Reds all over the Mets. 9-6 final. And the A's over the Tigers 4-0. The game's in action right now in Colorado. Wacky one at Coors, 6-6 in the top of the eighth. The Rays and the Rockies. Padres leading the Giants. They've faced each other a ton here in the first 2 weeks. The Padres up 4-0 in the bottom of the seventh. And the Red Sox are out to a 1-0 lead over the Angels in the bottom of the fourth at the Big A. Up next, we'll play some highlights. Recap this one as the Brewers fall by a final of 5-3. If you still got some comments, 855-616-1620. If you're still with us, 855-616-1620. If you're still with us, stay with us, WTMJ.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And this. Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Highlights for the Brew Crew, or they showed up later in this one. Mariners, Brewers, game two of a three-game series. DL Hall going up against Bryce Miller. Both pitchers got off to good starts. First two innings, not much happening there. Then in the third, death by a thousand cuts all of a sudden against DL Hall. It all began with a bunt single by Samad Taylor. Then a bloop single by J.P. Crawford. Julio Rodriguez grounding one up the middle to score the game's first run. Then Jorge Polanco grounded into a fielder's choice to get the first out of the inning, but that also brought home a run. It's all of a sudden 2-0, and a ball really hasn't been hit hard at all. Mitch Haniger followed with another single. That put runners on the corners, and Mitch Garver was at the plate.
The 3-0 is a ground ball hit to third. It's off the glove of Dunn and into left of base hit. They'll go from first to third again, and it's 3-0. RBI single by Mitch Garver.
It was a diving attempt by Dunn over to his left, and it ricocheted far enough away from really that there wasn't going to be a play. However, the next batter, Cal Raleigh, did bounce into a double play, which ended the inning, and D.L. Hall had to throw 25 pitches, gassed in the third inning. However, the Brewers' offense was really stymied today by Bryce Miller. He had himself one of his best career outings. 7 shutout innings. He only allowed 3 hits, no runs, of course, 1 walk, and also 7 strikeouts. His fastball splitter combination had the Brewers guessing all night. Of his 7 strikeouts, 4 of them on the splitter, 3 of them on the fastball. But now we fast forward to the 8th inning. Miller is out of the game. A leadoff single by Bryce Terang off of Austin Voth. And the new young kid, I guess the 2024 version of the kid, Jackson Churio.
This one hit in the air to left and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here and gone for Churio. And the Brewers have cut it in half on his second big league home run. He hit it out of here and left. And it's now
Bob Uecker on the call here on WTMJ, and the Brewers weren't done in the frame. A one-out walk drawn by Contreras chased Voth. They brought in the lefty Gabe Spier to face Yelich. However, he would walk Yelich, and he would walk Adames. So Pat Murphy would go to his bench. Rhys Hoskins was not starting the game, and he was ready to jump at the first pitch he saw in his first at-bat as a pinch hitter since 2022.
Here it is. Hit in the air. Left. Warning track. Didn't get enough. One run's going to score. It'll make it 4-3 on a sack fly. Almost.
Joey Ortiz would come off the bench next as a pinch hitter, and he was not able to get the job done to tie the game. They trailed 4-3, and then the backbreaker in the top of the ninth. Luis Urias lined a home run into the Brewers' bullpen to make it a 5-3 game, and then Andrés Muñoz had the bottom of the ninth inning, and he looked like the regular Andrés Muñoz, not the guy we saw last night.
And the pitch to him, swing and a miss, struck him out, low inside sinker, and beat him up on the inside, and Seattle evens the series. Final tonight. Mariners 5, Brewers 3.
Can't win them all, but hey, you can go 160-2. The winning pitcher is Bryce Miller. The loser, D.L. Hall. The save to Munoz. We'll preview tomorrow's game and get you ready to go right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. All right, final segment. Getting ready to say goodbye for the evening. Previewing tomorrow's coverage here on WTMJ. I'll be on the air at noon with Brewers warm-up. Then we'll go to the bottom of the hour to give it to the network at 12:35. for a 1-10 first pitch against the Mariners. Rubber game tomorrow. It'll be Emerson Hancock, a right-hander, against Colin Ray, also a right-hander for the Brew Crew. Again, 1-10 first pitch tomorrow as network coverage begins at 12:35. I begin at noon on the flagship, and we will have another Brewers Extra Innings tomorrow as Jerry Augustine will be joining us. I won't be flying solo tomorrow as we close out this first homestand of the season, and then the Brewers will be heading on the road and a longer trip this week, a four-game set against the Cincinnati Reds, and then a weekend three-game series with the Baltimore Orioles from Camden Yards. And I've said this for a while. I'll say it again. If you've never seen Camden Yards, it should be at the top of your list as far as stadiums to see. Absolutely love it. Quite frankly, it's on the same level for me as like a Fenway, as like a Wrigley, as like a Dodger Stadium, you know, those classics, because I think Camden Yards is going to age so, so beautifully. I love that place so, so much. So it'll be a seven-game road trip. Then they're right back here for a quick three-gamer at home against the San Diego Padres before their next off day on the 18th. So 11 in a row. They're in the middle of 13 in a row. And then they get the next off day, then another 13 in a row, off day, 13 in a row, and then the off days start to come a little bit more frequent after that. Another thing about the rotation coming up this week, again, Ray is going tomorrow, but then on Monday, it is expected to be Joe Ross, and then sliding into Jacob Junis' spot, it would be, rather, it would be Jacob Junis' spot on Monday, which will now be occupied by Aaron Ashby because he was activated today or called up from AAA Nashville. Junis was placed on the injured list. Then Joe Ross would go on Tuesday. And maybe, just maybe, Wade Miley returns on Wednesday against the Cincinnati Reds as they go into a six-man rotation for the next couple of weeks. Now we'll put Freddie on the day game on Thursday in the getaway day against the Reds, and then back to DL Hall next Friday against the O's, and that would line up against his former team. So something to keep an eye on how things unfold this week. Looking forward to tomorrow's rubber matchup. Should be a lot of fun at the ballpark. We're not going to have the roof open quite yet, but man, we're getting closer. It was great to see the sunshine today and a 35,000 plus crowd here at the ballpark, and these awesome Giannis jerseys from our teammates over at 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. A really, really cool giveaway item. Hope you got your hands on one of those. So again, we're back to normal now. I won't miss another show until June, so my thanks again to Greg Matzik for filling in for me yesterday. I was officiating my best friend's wedding back home in Arizona, so that was a really fun day to be in. I missed a fun one, and today I got a dud. So hey, it is what it is. It's my fault. You can blame it on me. It's no big deal. All right, we'll close out the homestand tomorrow. Then it's on to Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati, as Bill Belichick said, coming up Monday. And we will have another Brewers Extra Innings for you live after the game tomorrow right here on your flagship home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. For Tim Shea, our producer, and our thanks to everybody who's listened, called in, and texted in, I'm Dominic Catronio. Thank you again for listening. Tonight, the Brewers fall by a final of 5-3. Until next time, keep on swinging.